This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Hello, this is Raj Fanin. I call from Alexandria, Egypt. I love to listen to the Phil Hendry Show. I don't have much time to listen to the Phil Hendry Show because I only come alive when he tells me that I can come alive, because I was created by Phil Hendry. So when you hear me, you hear other characters on the show, you have to know that Mr. Hendry created this. And other than that,
that's fine.
Okay. Bye.
Product safety when it comes to children is what we're talking with Jim Sadler. Dr. Jim Sadler is a psychologist, and he is also a product safety specialist. And, you know, a lot of these collapsing strollers that parents are so worried about, Dr. Sadler, these kids putting things up their nose, swallowing small pieces of toys.
Well, so we're recalling every little thing. This product recall, as I've said on your program many times, over the top.
It's over the top.
Oh, I really think so. We're failing to teach our children that life is hard. And if we recall every toy because a small piece can be inhaled.
The kids are curious. And the little tiny pieces of toys, like the Lego, little tiny Legos and things like that, aren't they curious about how those things work?
Well, can you think of a better way to keep a kid from sucking a toy soldier into his lungs and to actually have him do it? I mean, the kid learns.
Well, but Doc, the kid learns at the possible expense of his health.
Well, I got to tell you, I love my son very much, my son Randy. I love him. But to this day, I still marvel how he sucked a button into his nose. Now, mind you, I know children are curious. But how completely out of it do you have to be to put a button up your nose? And the best way to teach him not to do that is to let him do it. Feel the wind constrict in his throat, go through that initial panic, and then do what all children will do, either faint or look for a parent.
Look, kids are curious. They look at things and they wonder how they fit into the world, okay, like a button or like, as I say, a paper clip.
No doubt about it. So the challenge to us as educators is to find a way to teach them not to do it. Because what are you going to do? Are you going to outlaw all paper clips?
Absolutely not.
So, and are you going to hold a button up in front of a kid and say, see this? Don't suck it into your nose. It's crazy. I'm telling you, Phil, it's crazy.
But surely the injury of a child cannot be accepted, okay? I mean, the kids that have been injured.
Well, I mean, this is going to be tough. And here's the thing that I wanted to say to you. And we're on the air right now, right?
Yes.
Let me ask all the parents and children who are sensitive to leave the room, ask all the children to leave the room, irregardless. I want to say something to the parents.
Okay, let's assume they've left the room, the kids.
Okay. I was introduced to a man named Charles Darwin. And I remember when I first read Darwin, I was liberated. Darwin introduced a theory called natural selection. The smart survive, the weak, the stupid, they get dead. And a lot of parents have lost children to so-called product safety issues, whether the child is choked or strangled in a bag or something like that. I don't know. The bag thing probably...
Well, a lot of kids will crawl into a refrigerator.
Yeah, that one, hopefully no kids die in that way, because that was like the 50s, and I hope kids are smart.
All right, well, they're taking doors off of refrigerators, too.
That's right. If your child dies that way, think of it as natural selection.
Natural selection, meaning
what I said.
That the dumb don't survive and the smart do.
Well, but if you don't say dead or don't say don't survive, the word that Darwin used was extinct. Extinct. Okay.
But you're saying that a dumb kid is part of Darwin's theory. The dumb kid dies.
No, but again, this will make it easier for the parent to accept. If you don't accept, don't think of the child as having died. Think of the child, the kid's extinct.
Because he's dumb?
I mean...
Because he's dumb, right?
Yeah, because he's dumb.
The kid's extinct because he was dumb.
Either that or the parents were dumb. Look, research shows...
You got parents Look, a paperclip, a coin, a button, these are things that a kid can choke on. And if the kid chokes on that thing, somebody's got to do something about keeping it out of his hands.
Ah, that's exactly correct. The other thing you'll be interested in, Phil, is research shows us any kid that sticks his head into a plastic bag and choked on it, he did it two or three times before he finally was successful at getting extinct or dying.
Getting extinct.
Well, or dying. And so what's that tell you? That tells you the kid, you know, we're not talking about a bulb that the filament's working on. And I'm sorry. And that's why I said I didn't want people listening to...
So it comes down to Darwin's natural selection. The kids who are choking on buttons, the kids that are choking on paper clips are stupid. Isn't that right?
I'm reluctant to say that.
Well, that's what you're saying. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, Dr. Jim Sadler, a product safety expert on why kids choke on little pieces of toy or whatever.
Phil, could I mention to you something I developed called the Sadler Criterion?
All right.
The Sadler Criterion is essentially to get a good look at your husband or wife, get an idea about how many brains that they've got working with, and you're going to get a good idea as to whether your kid's going to make it out of childhood or not, because the Sadler Criterion basically tells you if you married an idiot...
Your kid's going to strangle in a bag.
Yeah. And so with the Sadler Criterion, the kid strangling in the bag becomes less as the idiot you're married to, you see what I'm saying?
Gets smarter.
Right. The smarter the person you're with, the less likely you're going to make a kid together that's sucking on, electrical cords that are plugged into a wall. That's what we mean.
All right. The reason why, and our number is 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. The reason why I got you on is to talk about these collapsing strollers.
Right. I've looked into that.
These collapsing strollers that kids are getting injured in.
Right. The collapsing stroller is a very dangerous thing. It's also another test of survival for the child. A collapsing stroller is a life lesson. And if you look at some of these parents, and a child, in the way they drive, a kid that has a stroller collapse on him, I think it's a good first step at understanding what it's going to be like getting into one of these metal-twisting wrecks that his mother or her mother or father will eventually get him into because they're talking too much on a cell phone. So
here we go again with your philosophy, which is it's okay for the kid to be exposed to this danger because it teaches him a lesson.
And what is wrong with that?
Because some kids die, and I don't think it's a very good explanation to say that's the Darwinian selection.
What about the Sadler Criterion?
Well, the Sadler Criterion, your criterion?
Yes.
That simply says, my wife's an idiot, that means we probably are going to have a stupid kid.
And so don't have a stupid kid.
So don't make kids.
Not if you don't want the thing to choke on hang himself with a belt. That's all I'm saying.
It seems very cut and dried. That's all I'm trying to say. And a stroller collapsing on a kid is a life lesson in automobile accidents.
That is correct, yeah. Because the way, again, he's looking at his mother or his father. Suppose he already has a button up his nose. All right, I've got an idiot for a mother. Now he's in a car with her. He realizes that there's a high likelihood I could get in an automobile accident, so I better get into that stroller that collapses to tell me what that's going to be like. So all of it, Phil, in terms of product safety, I believe is a life lesson. And I'm really so sick and tired of talking to these parents who want us to recall this and recall that and fix this and fix that. The swings, the caps on pens have to have holes in them so some kid won't choke on it. I say if a kid swallows the cap of a big pen, he's going to be very quickly learning how to stick his hand down his throat and pull it out or induce vomiting or have someone perform Heimlich or do it. Geez, put your kid in a bubble, why don't you? Because that's what most of these parents want.
Well, I don't disagree that a lot of parents want their kids to be completely and totally safe from danger, but I do think it's asking a little bit much that a kid get into one of these strollers that isn't unsafe so he can learn about what an automobile accident's going to be like because his mother's an idiot.
If he sucked an olive up his nose, yeah, she's an idiot.
It's her fault. I thought it was his fault.
Well, she's the idiot that had him.
All right, hold on, Doc. Dr. Jim Sadler joining us on product safety. So it's your fault. You're stupid. You had the kid. He's stupid. So if he dies, that's natural selection. Darwin, who he read, liberated him into thinking this way. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show, Dr. Jim Sadler, product safety expert. You just don't believe in product safety recall when it comes to kid safety.
I don't believe, Phil, in the unnecessary, unending recall of products because a child or a parent are not responsible or just are too stupid. And I'll give you an example. There's so much in the way of parental education and teaching a child what to do. Today's parent is much weaker than any parent in the history of our country because they continually rely upon corporations to bail them out. In other words, don't keep the button away from Junior, just recall the button. Don't make sure that the stroller is properly assembled, just recall the stroller if it collapses. Don't drive carefully. Just sue the manufacturer of the car when you drive like an idiot and the tires blow out and your kid doesn't look like a kid anymore, but a side of beef laying on the side of...
Okay, that's... I mean...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's unnecessary, talking that way, okay? If you talk about lessons...
Talking about lessons.
Give us practical examples of how a parent can teach a kid to be safe.
The parents today?
Yeah.
For instance, these children that are choking on plastic bags, what I would do and what I did do with my own son is I put a plastic bag over my own head. I sat him down in front of me. I put a plastic bag over my own head, and I began to pretend like I was choking and gagging, and I fell to the floor. And I said, Daddy's dying. Daddy's dying. Daddy's dying. He realized it was unsafe. I will tell you this, Phil, because it's very important. A wonderful gift you can give to your child in terms of safety. And I thought long and hard about this until I decided to do it. I took an axe in our garage.
Right.
And I cut off one of my fingers with the axe. And I can tell you it hurt. But I did that to show my son how unsafe an axe is. And
you self-mutilated.
Yes, I did.
To show your son how tough it is if an axe isn't used properly.
I hacked off a couple of fingers, yeah, because I wanted that kid to get it. Because these kids today, they don't get if you put a button up your nose, you could choke. If you pull the pin on a hand grenade, you can blow your genitals off. They don't get any of this. They just think everything's safe because of these yuppies that have done it.
Wow, how insane and how crazy is that to cut your own fingers off in front of your kid?
You're calling me insane.
Yeah, I'm calling you insane. I'm saying that is traumatic for the kid to see. It's completely nuts for you to do. Now you're without the use of two fingers?
I'm a psychologist. I'm not a bricklayer or anything. I don't need those things.
It doesn't make any difference. You sat your kid down in front of you. You pretended to choke to death on a plastic bag. Why couldn't you pretend to cut your fingers off?
How do you do that?
How do you do... I don't know how you...
How do you pretend, what, have two fake fingers go flying?
No, I don't know about two fake fingers, but to traumatize a kid...
No, my child is not traumatized. My child now understands what most American kids probably don't understand, that an axe can cut things off, that an axe can cut a lot of things off, very important things, things you might want to keep around until later. And so
I'm sure that every kid understands that a knife, that an axe...
Oh, is that right? Then how come so many of them are dying from stabbing themselves to death? How come so many of them are shooting themselves? They don't understand. It's the same reason why a child shoots himself. They don't understand that a gun can kill. And that's what we're trying to say. A gun can kill. An axe can cut off fingers.
Dr. Sadler, I find something really wrong with a guy cutting off his own fingers and then pretending like he's choking on a plastic bag. And what else did you do? Did you shove an olive up your nose?
I did, yes.
And you're shoving olives and you're shoving buttons up there?
To show my son. Are you going to hold it in front of me? Yes, I did. And I had a problem. I had a problem breathing. I was taken to the emergency room one night. My wife brought over our son so he could see me in intensive care. These are the things I do for my son. These are the things that I do that most of these idiots won't do.
Idiots?
That's correct.
I'm an idiot. I would never do that for my kids. Am I an idiot?
I think you love your kids, but you must be stupid thinking that that kid isn't going to know not to put a shove a paperclip up their ass or anything.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. This is Eileen on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I was listening, and what is this man's background? He sounds
I'm a psychologist, also product safety.
Are you regulated by any agency, or do you just do this
on
your own?
What do I do? What agency needs to regulate me? I'm dispensing advice on how we can properly train children so they're not hurt by these products.
Okay, so you're an educated child psychologist?
Yes,
or,
that is correct.
You sound like a lunatic to me.
Well,
you sound crazy to me when you're cutting off your own fingers.
I may sound crazy, but you've got these kids out there that haven't got 14 cents worth of brains.
I don't want to interrupt you, but...
No, they're putting olives, they're putting paper clips, they're putting buttons,
accidents
Lego pieces.
Accidents happen to children.
Accidents
do
happen to children.
Happen.
Ma'am, could I ask you, what is accidental about taking a ball bearing and purposefully inserting it into your anus? Is that accidental?
I'm sorry? An 8 or a 9 month old child is exploring the world.
But you got to understand, that's not accidental.
Who put a ball bearing up their rear end?
We're talking the very children we're talking about with this lady. Ball bearings, marbles, rocks, razor blades. You'd be surprised. Now, what are you going to do?
What
I ask you, Eileen, are you going to recall all the razor blades?
But if you know of a product that's not made well, such as a stroller that can collapse.
Oh, not made well. How's a ball bearing not? The stroller is going to collapse on that child, and that's tragic. But the child learns a valuable lesson. This could happen to me when mommy's driving.
In other words, you're giving the kid the lesson, let the stroller collapse on my...
I do not know where you got your education. But if you're a 9-month-old child,
you're
not going to know that.
How well do you drive?
Very well.
You drive very well.
I have an excellent driving record.
So you don't think a stroller collapsing on your kid would do any good?
That is not going to teach my child in the future to be a better driver.
And you wouldn't crawl into an oven after a 350-degree preheat and get a little bit of a burn to show your child it's wrong. You wouldn't do it, would you?
I certainly wouldn't cut my finger off.
No, and I wouldn't do it either.
I wouldn't teach my child that it was cut.
You know what? Your cell phone's a little weird sounding there. I'm going to put you on... No, I wouldn't do it. Crawl into an oven after a 350-degree preheat.
That's correct, because I love my son. And because I want him to have every opportunity to live past his third birthday. And yes, if it means a stroller collapsing on him so that he can be prepared when daddy, driving him home one night, may have had a few drinks, may have not.
How about if you don't drink and drive?
I would not want to drink and drive. And I wish that I could make that promise to my son. But I can't guarantee. Yeah, here's the thing that I think you'll probably find shocking. Electric carving knives cause an awful lot of damage to children.
Yeah?
I put one up my rear end to show him it was wrong. Bad. Don't ever do this.
You shoved an electric carving knife up your butt.
And I said, Randy, don't do this. Don't do it.
Has he done it?
He almost did, even though I told him.
Well, there's that natural selection you're talking about. 1-800-449-8686 with a very strange Dr. Jim Sadler and his ideas on product safety. This is the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And I'm with Dr. Jim Sadler, a product safety expert who doesn't believe in product safety per se, thinks it's the parents' responsibility. Here is Stephanie on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I'd like to say that if this guy had any idea about psychology at all, much less child psychology, he would never, ever do these things with a child. Let me just tell you this.
What are your credentials, please? What are your credentials?
This is a joke.
Well, you don't have any credentials. In other words, you got the Dr. Laura credentials that we talk about so much. Let me tell you, Stephanie, that children today are being put in a plastic bubble, and they're not allowed to experience life. And we are trying to eliminate every danger, and we can't do it. And the best thing to do is to expose them, teach them to adapt, and then teach them to survive. And I think that's probably the best advice I can give you. And also, quit reading all those touchy-feely books.
No. You need to be in a mental home.
This is ridiculous. Okay?
You've got to be a joke. This has to be a joke. Let me just ask you, Stephanie,
as a mother, you must be a joke.
Let me ask you this. Why don't you shoot yourself?
You want to make the whole world out of Nerf? Is that it, Stephanie?
Do you know that you're teaching your child? Why don't you
pad the entire interior of your SUV with Nerf?
Okay, you just like to listen to yourself talk.
Well, I do. It's a lot more fun than listening to you talk.
Okay, well, I think I'm in the majority here, and you're teaching your child to do.
Will you let this lady talk, okay?
Well, I'm teaching my child. Well, I don't want to listen to some
yuppie mother. If you'd be quiet, you could hear me.
There's nothing to hear. And
why don't you listen to her?
Because there's nothing to hear.
He's insane. Do you have a child? Really.
Do you have a child?
Excuse me, sir. How old is your son?
Do you have a child?
You're teaching him.
She doesn't even have any children.
All right, you don't have children, Stephanie? Is that it?
I have four, actually.
Oh, you have four? How old are you?
I have four. I'm 30.
You're 30? Four kids?
I have four kids by the time you were 30.
All right, we are conducting four kids by how many fathers?
Okay, that's unnecessary.
This is one father.
It's one father. Okay.
Okay, I don't know why. Let me make a note of that. I won't let anybody talk.
Would you let her talk?
I just want to make a note of that. Four children by one father. What we're doing is we're going to take a collection of preschoolers and put them in a room with running blenders, hot plates.
I didn't call to listen to you talk.
Your son, what? Is how old? He thinks he has one father.
Okay.
Excuse me. How old is your son?
Thank you very much.
Do you realize...
Four children by one father.
Are you going to listen to the woman or are you not?
I'm wondering if her child is available for a test seminar.
You know what? You need to get this guy off.
If you can...
Stephanie, if you can watch how we do our work, then you're pulling everybody's leg. You're a big phony, is what you are.
I'm a doctor, and you're a mother
phony.
Who doesn't
you're
care
big
about
phony, and you're just trying to make everybody
children.
Think you're a doctor. Nobody.
Okay, are you a doctor or are you a doctor or are you not?
I'm a psychic. Would you like to see my credentials?
He's a big phony, Phil.
Well,
listen to the guy.
Hold on, Stephanie. Are you a doctor?
I am a doctor of psychology. I'm also a product safety expert, and this is a woman who listens to Dr. Laura.
All right, look.
No, I don't like Dr. Laura, actually. Dr. Joy Brown.
Okay. I don't know what trailer do you live in. Now,
that's not necessary. Okay.
Well, she's
no, that doesn't bother me at all.
Okay.
The whole point is, if you'll be quiet for just a minute.
Well, why do you want to talk to a phony?
Talk with the trailer and everything. Everybody just be quiet for a minute, okay? Be quiet, all right? Good Lord.
May I finish?
Well, you don't let that lady finish.
I want to finish what I'm saying. Because the work we're doing at the university right now, at Taft, is very important.
What are you doing?
We are looking for 20 children between the ages of 2 and 4 on product safety. We would like the children to be in a room. In that room, we have running blenders, two hot plates that are turned up to, I think, barbecue. There's two levels, broil and barbecue. Also, we have an aquarium with an electric eel in it.
What else?
An open bottle of bleach, a lighter, and...
And you want to put 2- and 3-year-old kids in this room?
No, Mr. Henry, what we want to do is see which ones will go to these products and which ones won't.
And what if one does? What if a kid sticks his hand in the open blender?
We have a viewing room where we have access to the children.
Okay, so if a kid is about to put his hand in the blender, you can go in there and stop him.
Theoretically, we can.
What do you mean, theoretically?
Well, the viewing room is across the street because we had limited space. So
if a kid is putting his hand in the blender and you're watching him on what, closed circuit?
Yes.
How do you go across and get him?
We run across the street, provided there's a green light.
Otherwise, the kid's hand... I think you're a phony, too. What do you think about that?
Oh, really? You want me to fax you my diploma?
Yeah, fax... What do you mean, fax me your diploma?
Look, if the kid puts his hand in the blender...
Then what?
Then he's extinct.
Yeah, there you go. He's extinct. Yeah, the viewing room is across the street, and they can go over and get the kid, provided there's a green light. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, sir, did you think that that last caller that I had on the line was a phony baloney?
No, I don't think that he was a phony baloney by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think that he was extreme.
Why don't you think he was a phony, doctor? I mean, because the last lady thought that he was phony, and some of the people calling in thought he was nuts.
No, I don't think that I don't think that he was phony because he was using so many of the large doctor style words, but I do feel that
the large doctor style words.
He was quoting Charles Darwin, and I don't think you can. Let me tell you this much. I don't think you can do that and not be a real doctor. But the reason why I called is because I believe that much of what he was suggesting was borderline negligent or criminal. The idea that you would let children loose in a room full of running blenders and hot plates defies description. And a bottle of bleach. Now, the hot plate, the reason why I called is I felt much of what he said made sense up to that point.
Well, what made sense? He wants to get the 3-year-olds in a room with an aquarium with an electric eel in it, a bottle of bleach, a lighter, and, oh, yeah, in case one of the kids gets in trouble, the viewing room is across the street, so they'd have to run across the street, provided there's a green light.
Or the child will go extinct.
Oh, yeah, there's another one. Or the child will go extinct.
Well, that's what Darwin teaches us.
I know what Darwin teaches us. Darwin talks about a species going extinct. He's not talking about a kid sticking his hand in an aquarium with an electric eel in it going extinct. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, Mr. Henry, I didn't call to argue with you.
Well, I'm sorry, but
I didn't call to argue with you.
Okay, it's just goofy.
What I did call to say was, I think it would behoove many of us, if we were less judgmental, to try some of it. Now, I believe turning the oven up to 350 degrees and placing myself inside of it could...
Might do some good in your house?
It could do some good in my house, yes, sir.
Oh, boy.
Why do you laugh?
You crawl into an oven, 350-degree oven, and it's doing some good in your house, then maybe they don't need you around. Maybe that's the good that needs to be done to get rid of you.
Well, my wife could collect insurance money. And
yeah, there you go. That's the only reason why you try this stuff.
The hot plate, you could sit on it. And
you could sit on it and tell your kid it's too hot. Okay, thanks for your call. Hey, watch this, Junior. I'm going to sit now on the hot plate. Watch it burn me, burn my rear end, and then, you know, you're going to get you'll get your lesson. And, oh, yeah, honey, let me crawl into this oven and give you insurance money. Get out of here. You're all nuts. Speaking of nuts, and what is he wants back on? What is that, sir?
Well, maybe I'll soak my clothes in gasoline before I get into the oven. And
yeah, that'll get the insurance money for sure.
Well, not if I crawl into the oven with the insurance money.
No, then it'll burn up. Bug off.
Well, wait a second.
Okay, get into the... speaking of all the goofballs out there, a judge has decided not to release Dale Earnhardt's autopsy photos. Man, there goes a lot of weekends out there. A lot of you guys, that just screwed your weekend up, didn't it? A judge will not release the Dale Earnhardt autopsy photos. Now, Laura Bush has told the press that her daughter's legal problems are a private family matter. Her daughter's legal problems are a private family matter. That's why she told the press about it. Texas, by the way, has executed a record 40 inmates last year, but only 8 so far this year. So let's pick it up, y'all. And by the way, today is Flag Day, isn't that right? So that's that. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
Unusual punishment in the Constitution is there to protect us from being shackled in dungeons, being drawn and quartered, having bamboo shot up our butts. Thank you, ma'am. I don't know what you think, but you are one of the best proponents for capital punishment, not against it.
You just mentioned bamboos going up the butt area.
That's what you said.
What's wrong? No, you just mentioned it now.
Yeah, but that's what you said would be a good way to kill him.
I said a spring-loaded bamboo pole, yes.
Right.
Because it would be a surprise. And I think
Wait, you think that he needs to be surprised?
You think
he really needs a surprise?
I think it's cruel to make him sit there and know the day he's going to die.
I think it's not cruel to make him sit there and know the day he's going to die because it'll give him that much time to try to make peace with his maker.
Well, he should be making peace with his maker right away. So then he can wait for them to hit him on the head with an aluminum bat. But
right,
I think
and that's
nice
not cruel and unusual?
Don't you think that after being in
you
prison
for a
long...
You don't think that's not cruel and unusual, Roman?
No, I don't, because I think it's nice for someone in his position in prison for a long time to have a surprise every now and again.
Well, why don't you just have a prison ride on death row and
have
them kill each other off?
Have a what?
A prison ride.
Because he'd know it was coming.
Just open up all the cells on death row and let them kill each other. That'd be a surprise.
No, it wouldn't be a surprise because then he'd know it was coming.
He might survive.
No, he might not, too, and that would be painful. Did I tell you about dropping... Have you heard about this one? They're using this in Ireland, Phil. They drop a piano or a safe on the prisoner while he's standing on a large red X.
Where is this supposed to be? This is what our Constitution guards us against.
No, this is humane.
No, you better read your Constitution, woman. I'm not even going to refer to you as a lady.
Our founding fathers.
You are twisted.
You know something?
You're twisted.
You don't like the bamboo pole up the rear end. You're telling me no?
Oh, you don't think that's not cruel and unusual?
I think that's going to end like that.
That's the very first sensation to be pleasurable.
The very first sensation would be pleasurable, what I'm saying, because, and I don't know, he may be homosexual.
Have you ever had one up yours that you know is pleasurable?
The gay people, the gays like it, okay?
You talk to them and you know.
Well, come on, how do you think they do it to each other? Now, if Timothy McVeigh
were gay... Oh, they use bamboo poles?
I don't know, but if he was Timothy McVeigh, he might enjoy having it go up the butt, and then he's dead. So
he gets dead after he gets a little joystick.
He gets dead after he gets a joystick.
Well, that's what we're thinking.
Why can't this guy suffer a little bit? Everything you're talking about is to take every single solitary little piece of suffering away.
Got to be constitutional.
Well, there's nothing in the thing about not suffering. This is cruel and unusual. What you're proposing is cruel and unusual.
What we do is accepted by the society. When you say you're sitting there and you're against capital punishment, but yet you want to do this?
We want to civilize the process.
Hit him with a baseball
bat. And I can't think of anything more civilized than caving his head in when he doesn't know it with a paperweight or having a swordsman.
And you don't think he's not going to hear that paperweight coming? You're not going to see somebody pick that paperweight up.
You know, Carol, you are really stupid if you think people can hear a paperweight coming. What is wrong with you?
You don't think he's not going to know it's there?
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong
all
with
right.
me?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Okay, look at what's wrong with you.
You know something? I think it's very humane to have, like, the Highlander come up and cut its head off.
Yeah, okay.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
And now it's time to talk about how fat is Phil this week. Well, down to 226 and a half, but on the exercise cycle all week long, and really been kicking my ass this week because I'm going to tell you something. Working that bike these last couple of days has been particularly brutal. I've been very carefully counting my points, been very carefully looking at the kinds of foods that I've been eating, except last night when I got home for the Laker game, my wife had big slabs of beef, pork and cheese laying out with large, you know, those big rolls you make sandwiches out of, and big bowls of potato chips. I had all of it. I couldn't stand it. So tomorrow's my big weigh-in. I just want to mention one thing. We're going to be in San Diego this coming Friday, and we're going to be in San Diego over the evening Friday night because they're having their sky show down there. This is an enormous fireworks show, and they've been having it for years. Years and years, KGB sponsors the Sky Show out at, what's it called now, Qualcomm? Used to be Jack Murphy, Qualcomm Stadium. And this thing is spectacular, man. Now, it only lasts a half hour, but they just packed the joint for this. So we're going to go down and be on the air with Jim McGinnis and the rest of the crew Friday night for the Sky Show. And let's see, those are the only plans I think I have. Oh, yeah, then we got to go to a wedding on Saturday night, and then on Sunday, I guess we're wide open. My wife wants to go to a matinee of some play. I don't know what it is. It's going to be another one of these kooky things she read about in the calendar section of the L.A. Times, probably some performance art piece, a lot of honey being poured on someone naked. I just know it. My wife is the only person I know who will read the review of a play or a movie, and they'll rip it an ass. Worse, pay it forward. I found online a brilliantly scathing review of Pay It Forward. The guy just rips this thing six ways to sunset. The crap can performances, the contrived plot, the bullcrap performance from Haley Joel Osment, the direction is right out of the toilet, the script right out of someone's rear end. I faxed this to my wife. Now she wants to see it more than ever before. She's amazing. She's great. She's every studio executive's dream. She just doesn't pay any attention to what the hell the critics think. And she wants to go to this Pay It Forward. One thing I got her off of, she won't force me to watch it. And, oh, thank you, Jesus. I got to tell you this, Craig, and you ain't going to like it. Thank you, God. She went to see Moulin Rouge. She walked out halfway through it. That means I don't have to go see it. You liked it, though, didn't you, Craig? She couldn't stand a piece of crap. She walked out. She walked out to move the car because she knew she was in 30-minute parking. And then she said, why am I going back in? As long as I'm out, I'm staying out. Also, the Sunday New York Times Magazine will have an article on our show. It's very, very well written. Jack Hitt, the author, I think, really gets the show. So pick that up. Sunday New York Times Magazine this Sunday.